Brothers, would you stand up, please, and so every year we begin our seminars with invoking the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Glory to thee, O God, glory to thee, O Heavenly King, Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who art everywhere present and fillest all things, treasury of good things and giver of life. Come and abide in us and cleanse us from every stain and save our souls, O gracious Lord, through the prayers of our holy fathers. O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. Deacon, would you not to record the first part? I will tell you when we start. The first thing, I will start with some. You know, the theme is Grace and I. We picked for our seminar this year. It's beautiful, it's meaningful, this is the flyer on the website. I haven't seen it before this time. It's beautiful. And it says, as you know, but make us worthy to approach thee by mouth and heart. The priest, pastor, and spiritual father. I introduce our retreat theme in these opening remarks. Our created human integrity forms the basis of all our reflection on the discrete elements of experience, especially in the experience of the ordained priests of the Orthodox Church. We can express the integrity of our being in two ways, by mouth and by heart. Our Lord Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. This saying shows the unity of the mouth and the heart. So let us briefly reflect on this unity in three dimensions, which are central to presbyteral life. Priest as liturgist, liturgos. Pastor, pimin, and father, patir. So the first one is liturgist. Our heart is rightly shaped by the liturgical texts of the church, the Holy Gospel, the Holy Divine Liturgy, and the service books of the church, such as the Octochios, the eight tones, and Oroloion. Oroloion means the prayer book, etc. We must know, now we have one of the most beautiful books, the Triodion. We started it. We must know these texts by experience in praying them often in the church and by personal study and contemplation. Let us make this a fundamental rule in our life as liturgists. So I said two ways in the beginning. Let me start with first. We must devote ourselves to purification of the heart by liturgical practice in general. The priest must sanctify himself first, then the liturgical power and grace will sanctify others. We must serve the Lord in the heart with the truth and speak from that truth. Every priest ought to observe his rule of prayer, which includes a rule of serving at the holy table. The parish community will sense this deep formation and receive grace upon grace as a result of the sanctification of their presiding liturgist. Number two, we must devote ourselves to know our liturgical language and vocabulary deeply. What does any given passage of scripture, liturgy, or hymnody mean? If your knowledge of these is faulty, you must study to overcome the deficit. When we pray the prayers from the books, we must pay attention. What about errors and texts as printed? What about errors in texts as printed? Did we review them ahead and inform ourselves? There are mistakes here and there, which the priest should detect and fix. For example, if you open the red prayer book, page 13 and 14, but it is 14. The last, when we say, not this one, not the little one that we use in the Divine Liturgy. So when we say, O Lord, at all times and at all hours we hymn thee, something like that, at the very end we say, unapproachable glory. In that book, it's approachable glory, and I heard it a million of times. So it means that we don't understand what we read. In the gospel book on the holy table, you remember during the Holy Week, the son of perdition, Judas, it says the son of perdition. Okay, this is like a printing mistake, but we have... We should pay attention and not to read it as it is printed, you see? And the two sisters of Lazarus, Marty and Martha. You know, now we laugh. But you know, like they read it as it is in the church. You know, we have to be prepared. We have to go to church, you know, prepared. Even we have been ordained like millions of years. We have to study it. It has to come not from the book. I need to look at someone first. We don't have to read the prayer from a book. The prayer has to flow from here, from the whole being. So sometimes I go to a church and at the holy table like million of books as if like we are a bookshelf here. This is wrong. Just the holy book, the gospel, the Bible, the gospel book, and the prayer book, and the cross. Period. Nothing on the holy table. If we have to use any other text before the church. I said to you once, he was sensing like that. We can't have the papers, and do sensing at the same time like that. We can't read at that moment. We don't have time to read. Yesterday I was at one of the churches, before the little entrance, so that I was out reading the prayers after Blessed is the Kingdom. And so the deacon picked up the gospel on his own and went. And the priest was just like watching. So the priest has to give the deacon the gospel, not the deacon. The deacon is not part of the service. You have to understand this. The deacon has to stand like, here is the holy table, way before. In the back, behind. A deacon assists. He assists the priest, but he cannot do anything on his own. So we can have a service without a deacon, but we cannot have a service without a priest. So these are little things, but they are mistakes when they happened. So we get all the liturgical, all the divine formation, if you like. And I disagree with those people, lay people, not clergy, who said we have in the Orthodox Church, we have too much liturgics. Okay, if we don't have liturgics in the church, where do we get the formation? Where do we get, you know, like the example? You know what? After I finished studying my theology and philosophy and whatever, I don't even know where I have put or buried, you know, like the, all where they say, you know, like master degree and whatever. I don't remember, but I do remember that all my formation, I got it, it will go with me to the grave from the liturgical books. If we don't get everything, our holy formation from the liturgical books, we will not get it from anywhere. So, not approachable glory, unapproachable glory. So I say, when you see some mistakes, you are not sure of something, ask the ecclesiarchs. So that's why we have two ecclesiarchs. And they are with a good knowledge. Or another, go to another brother. Another brother. So I'm sure that many, they have the good knowledge, the good experience. Or at the end, go to the bishop. So I will not turn anyone, you know, like without any answer. So the priest should control his voice outside of the liturgical moments as well. How scandalous can undignified speech be to our people after having just spoken the holiest words every penned? For example, the opening doxology of the anaphora. Let us not descend to ill-fitted speech. Let the priest abstain from joke-telling or aimless small talk. St. Peter said, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. Let us set a good standard of holy and dignified speaking and silence to our people. That was the pastor or the priest as liturgist. Now, number two, as pastor. A pastor leads, he does not drive. The authority of love demands that we pastors exercise humility in the exercise of our pastoral leadership. We should never express coercion or emotional violence, but instead we should act as servants. When we ourselves experience this leadership from our bishop and our fathers over us, our priestly mentors, and other ecclesiastical authorities, we gain the correct attitude toward our parishioners, the beloved Orthodox faithful laity. St. John Chrysostom carefully qualifies the metaphor of sheep. The rational sheep cannot be manhandled, but must be appealed to in love. A pastor is a teacher. The pastor seizes every opportunity as a teaching moment in order to raise the hearts and minds of his faithful. This means that we ourselves ought to be devoted always to learning and reading. St. Paul directed Timothy. He says, "Give yourself to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, but be careful to measure your words, lest you wear people out by long-winded discourses." The pastor protects the sheep from wolves. So my emphasis here from St. John, the Gospel of St. John 10:3, and you know it, we don't have to go. But when it says that the thief and the robber cometh in only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now the last thing, the last part is as father, the priest as father. And I use this from, you remember a few years in a parish life conference, I shared with you some remarks about the priest as a spiritual father, you remember? So fatherhood comes from God, not from man. The father, pater, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth, is named. If we priests bear the title father, then that signifies that we stand as a personal expression of divine fatherhood. This is a sobering and very high vocation and identity. The father cares for his children. The priest should cultivate a fatherly heart. He is personal, one-on-one, in his caring and love for persons as his children. The priest carries the burdens and joys of each spiritual child with him at all times and takes the initiative to reach out to all. This personal one-on-one relationship is most clearly shown in pastoral counseling and in the Holy Sacrament of repentance and confession. The pastor relieves personal burdens and offers discipline which saves the souls of his children. This means that a pastoral heart speaks the truth in love. This means that priest should not offend when speaking. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. However, it does mean that the priest should speak prophetically and with clarity when the occasion and need demand. We do not spoil our children by ignoring needful correction. St. Paul tells fathers to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Since the priest is a father, he is not an hireling. The relationship of priest to parish is a familial one, not business one. The priest should not think in terms of hours at work or vacation time or doing a job, but rather he should live out a holy way of life in concert with his people. the father of the community is not the employee of the parish council. Still, this disease, we haven't cured from it. Many, many parishes still, they treat the priest as an employee, and they don't get it. So the father of the community is not the employee of the parish council. Rather, he is the personal face of the bishop in the community, guaranteeing the apostolic life for the salvation of his people. Let us avoid any flattery. This is an expression of vainglory, a corrupt passion which reveals our selfishness. The vainglorious man wants everyone to like him. He is ego-centered. The true father is centered on the salvation of his children. He gives his life for the sheep. Let our mouth then be the instrument which disciplines in the correct manner. You are not to enforce authority, but to indicate the path to freedom. But when those undergoing discipline disagree, do not give up on them, but find an opportunity always to show love. At the end, I would like to conclude by saying that the liturgical heart of the priest is accompanied with a liturgical tongue, and his pastoral heart is associated with a pastoral tongue, and his fatherly heart is tied in with a fatherly tongue, so that from this combination he may lead his congregation into Christ, where God sees your pure heart and tongue, there he lavishes his grace upon your ministry and fill you with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, I introduce His Grace at this moment. I took long.